Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You can get it if you really want.
Good morning. Bill Handel here. The Morning Crew on a Friday morning, March 5th. Michael Crozier in for Jennifer Jones Lee. And the rest of the crowd pretty much here. Some of the bigger stories that we are covering. Pope Francis is in Iraq, and he's visiting the four Christians that are still remaining in Iraq. I mean, go figure. Also, the California Health Department started recommending that we double mask to better protect us from the spread of the virus. You got Texas, Mississippi, I think Alabama just said no masks at all, and California is going the other way. Well, it always has gone the other way. So we'll see in the next couple of weeks what happens. Is there a surge? Are we being, or is the governor being too conservative? The vaccine issue, I mean, we're done now with worrying about creating the vaccine. That was huge news. It was December when it came online. And then it was production, and then we had distribution issues. And now the big issue is the actual vaccination, putting those doses into people's arms. And California has promised equity. And keep in mind that the governor said 40% of the vaccines coming in will go to the poorest zip codes in the state. So, okay, and how do you do that? Well, right now there is a smorgasbord, an alphabet soup of agencies, nonprofits, local, state, city, federal agencies that are involved in administering the vaccines. So what happened? Because it was anticipated it was going to be this kind of a cluster truck. And so... what was the plan? And this was in place just a little while ago, was put in place. It's going to be Blue Shield has the contract. Blue Shield of California is going to begin managing the system of distributing the vaccines to the counties and pharmacies and healthcare providers. When? Oh, we don't know. Vaccine, that timeline hasn't been established. How much is... California going to pay for Blue Shield to do this? We don't know. And that seems to get upset one or two people. L.A. County Supervisor Holly Mitchell says, wait a minute. I mean, this is kind of crazy. We've got a system that's up and running, chaotic as it is. And now we want to come in and change the rules of engagement, reinvent the wheel. And the question is the wheel so broken that it has to be reinvented? Do you have to start from scratch or just tweak the wheel? That is the question. And right now, community-based clinics and nonprofits, with the help of local officials, have found creative ways to get doses into the arms, especially of vulnerable Californians. Now, does that mean that all ends? Because we don't know what the criteria is going to be. Well, we know when the state puts out who is eligible under what circumstances, but administering them, how's Blue Shield going to do it? Is it going to be at the high school, like the one that I went to? And it is how close are they going to look at the paperwork and how long does it take? I mean, I went in and out and I just showed my driver's license, and there I was, over 65, although they didn't pay attention at all. I could have been a teenager for all they cared. And all they'd say, hey, you look pretty good for 65, I have to tell you. Well, yeah, a lot of taking care of my skin. And the question is, why is an insurance company in charge of vaccinating millions of people who are uninsured anyway. Well, clearly it's under a state contract. And here is a real fear. Last week, a spokesman with the California Department of Public Health telling the LA Times that county health departments are going to lose direct control of their supply. Providers who administer the shots will be selected by Blue Shield based on their ability to distribute the doses quickly and equitably. And now Blue Shield, in the meantime, here's an argument that a private insurer like Blue Shield is going to do a much better job of consolidating all of this, taking in all of the various agencies, nonprofits, CVS, Walgreens. I mean, it's all going to come together where you'd have local jurisdictions. Because who's administering right now? The city, the state, the county, the feds. I mean, everybody is involved. And Blue Shield's going to consolidate all of that. And we won't know if it works until they do it. We won't know what it costs until we're told about the contract. We don't know when it starts. And as we're moving at a pretty good clip. Yesterday, 2 million plus vaccinations in the USA. In LA County, the hospitalizations have gone down. And it's just, we're moving in the right direction, for sure. We'll see what happens in Texas and Mississippi and Alabama in the next couple of weeks. School reopening. The plan gets a final okay, and there's still a lot of controversy. Why? Because some lawmakers want more, lots more. And I'll investigate, we'll investigate that when I come back. KFI AM 640, let's check in with Michael Crozier in for Jennifer Jones.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And good morning, Bill Handel here. It is a Friday morning, March 5th. Some of the bigger stories we're covering. The Pope is in Iraq. Some really good financial news. U.S. added 379,000 jobs last month. 6.2% unemployment. So we're moving. We're moving in the right direction. Where we have to move in the right direction, and it's a lot more complicated, and the problem ran a lot deeper than I think most of us anticipated, was the schools reopening. Now, from the beginning, there were plenty of people out there who said the schools reopening is critical. Much the same as those who advocated business reopenings. And there was the fight, health versus school. And I will tell you, I think that the school reopening people were more right than the health people. Because at this point, all the evidence seems to point that the transmission of the virus is pretty low among school kids. And the way school kids have lost this past year, lost their ability to learn, their cognitive abilities. I mean, everything that kids do at school, you know, how critical is school? Well, that's been lost. So there is a new program. I gave final approval yesterday. $6.6 billion plan to urge, and this is California, more school districts across the state to reopen their classroom for the youngest students because they're few at risk, and they frankly need that socialization, the ability to learn how to learn. It's probably far more important in the early grades than it is later on. And so it was new legislation. The governor is going to sign it today. And this is the most far-reaching effort by the governor and the legislature. It's $6.6 billion, $2 billion for elementary schools to offer in-person learning next month. focusing first on transitional kindergarten through the second grade, because we know why. $4.6 billion to school districts over the next 18 months designed to mitigate the learning of opportunities that were lost to the students, and that we are just beginning to understand how devastating that has been. I mean, we know it's devastating, but we're going to find out the testing. We're going to find out any objective measure, how students did. And you really can't compare how students did with online learning versus without online learning, because all the students were online. So we're going to get some information. And public schools and private schools, well, it's been a patchwork of approaches. Incidentally, of that $4.6 billion, the funds are going to be used by school districts, maybe paying for summer school, maybe paying for in-person services as, for example, tutoring. And it really doesn't matter. You choose any program to get students back up to speed, and it's not enough money. The Fed is going to put money down on the table. The state is going to put money on the table. You watch LA Unified is going to put money on the table to help its students. And no matter what, it is not going to be enough because the problem is so deep. It is so profound. It is so far reaching that I think you're going to see this going on. I don't know, till if a kid loses a year, I mean, that it's very difficult to catch up. The kid's a year behind. Now, the only good news is all the kids now have lost the year. And so I guess it becomes even. You know, it's an even playing field. And then there are all kinds of debates in the Assembly and the Senate when this was coming together. To reflect the vast differences in various communities, because, of course, poorer communities don't get the same assets. They don't have the same success rate. And as always, the poorer communities, those kids are going to fare worse, have fared worse, and are going to take longer to come back. And there are plenty of legislators that are saying, oh, no, you haven't gone far enough. Oh, no, we need far more. And then on top of that, in terms of going back to school, it still hasn't been negotiated. The California Federation of Teachers saying that the new vaccination plan in the schools, because that's another one. Kids have to be vaccinated. Do you show vaccination or do you test? How do you test? How often do you test? Do you do it on a weekly, biweekly basis? At least we have those tests that are pretty accurate that tell us what's going on in 15 minutes. And so the teachers are saying, unless we get vaccinated across the board and all the staffers at the school gets vaccinated, we're not going back to school. So it's a question of how we relearn. How does society, and when I'm talking about society, us, school districts, counties, et cetera, how do we learn to relearn? Or how do we relearn to learn? I know it's one of those two. And it's just trying to figure out a brand new way of learning. Now, will there be online instruction? There has been for years. I mean, ever since the internet came out. What student doesn't write a paper anymore going on the internet, doing the research, and then punching out the paper? I mean, that's been going on forever. And in some cases, schools, I know some private schools that have done online learning outside of the pandemic simply because it was more convenient and it was just a neat way to get assets that the school has and just allow the online learning, which seemed to have worked when it was voluntary, when it was still an adjunct to in-class learning, because all of those programs that I'm talking about, kids still went to school for five days a week. And so is there an answer here? Yeah, aggressively trying to bring the students back. Summer school. You know, I used to go to summer school as a kid. When I decided that I was going to finish high school in 2.5 years instead of 3 years, because I wanted to get into college before I was 17 years old. And I wanted to go very quickly to college. And I did. I was 17 years old. I was able to get into university or Cal State University because of summer school. Of course, it took me 8 years to actually get through the school, but that is a whole different topic. So I think we have to go back to those days, but the money that it costs. Andrew Cuomo. Oh, man, is he in a world of hurt. And I'll explain that. KFI AM 640. Let's check in with Michael Crozier. Everybody come hang. Let's go out. It is a Friday morning, March 5th. Bill Handel here on a, well, it's the end of the week, and it's going to be a nice day today. The big stories that we are covering, the Health Department of California wants all of us to double mask to protect ourselves even more, while Texas and Alabama and Mississippi are removing all masks mandate. So that's kind of weird, isn't it? Huge earthquake off the coast of New Zealand, tsunami wave, small one we're seeing, but there was no one living there, 600 miles off. So a couple of palm trees, you know, you could get coconuts or whatever after the earthquake hit. There is just a huge scandal with Andrew Cuomo. He has gone from literally the top of the heap, much like Gavin Newsom has gone from a hero in the pandemic to a zero. That's Hercules, the cartoon. Same thing with Andrew Cuomo, although he's gone from hero to way below zero. And I think he's going to fall the hardest. Also, he was up at the top. I mean, the whole country was looking at him for real leadership. Every day he was out there with a press conference. Every day he was telling us it's going to be okay. We looked to him for information. He was the political Dr. Fauci when the pandemic started. So we now find out that he, and we knew this, but I want to explain a little bit as to why, that the state underreported, with his knowledge, his top aides, the number of nursing home residents who died as a result of the pandemic, and underreported by half. So what he did is people who actually died in the nursing homes, that was counted as dying in the nursing homes. And the other ones that went back to the hospitals and died there, they didn't die in the nursing homes. There was no connection as far as the Cuomo administration went. And why is that? I mean, they never underrepresented the actual numbers. So why would he do that? Well, a couple reasons. On the political front, if you remember, the nursing homes were the first place this virus hit. And 90% or 95% of the deaths were coming right out of nursing homes. And we were zeroing in on that. So a lot of attention was being paid to nursing homes. The federal government wanted information from the states. They wanted numbers because these are the health authorities. And Cuomo didn't give them the numbers. And here's why. Because he said that had he given them the real numbers and added the nursing home deaths with the hospital deaths, it would have been twice as much. And the Trump administration would go really hard against him, because the Trump administration hated New York, hated California. The issue is that this first report, it was in July, before the federal government even asked for that information. That's where it's going to go down really heavy. It was really it was really for the purposes of just saying our nursing home deaths are less than others per capita. We are doing a better job, when it turned out that they weren't doing a better job. And even the early days of the pandemic, Cuomo had issued an order preventing nursing homes from turning away people discharged from the hospital. And so they went into nursing homes, and then they came back, and it was really difficult. So this became a question of politics. So in July, there was a 33-page report issued by the state health department. And even though Cuomo, the policies were not to blame, this was a question of giving out information. This is a question of transparency. That's where the problem is. And keep in mind that Andrew Cuomo was the champion of transparency. He said, I'm going to be transparent. We are going to tell you every fact, give you every number. Turned out he didn't quite do that. So, that's the other thing. By July, he was, this one is really going to grate on a whole lot of people. By July, he was already seeking formal approval, because you need that as a governmental employee in the state of New York. He was seeking formal approval from a state ethics agency to earn outside income from book sales. He was writing his book on effectively how to manage the pandemic. And look what I did. Look what a great job I did in managing this pandemic. Add that with the three women who have come forward and accused him of sexual misconduct. Is he going to hang on? Well, you know, the experts are going both ways on this. Supreme Court gives the government the benefit of a doubt in an immigration case. This is the first case in which Barrett has written the majority opinion. And I'll tell you a little bit about that. I got to tell you, I think the government is right. I think the Supreme Court was right. I'll come back with that. KFI AM 640. Let's check in with Michael.
Tell me your favorite song.
Friday morning, March 5th. Bill Handel here and the morning crew. Amy Coney Barrett, new Supreme Court justice, issued her first signed majority opinion. Now, it is customary for the Chief Justice, who assigns the writing assignments, to give sort of a throwaway, a softball the first time out. And that was the case. This was lopsided. Sometimes it's unanimous as a first assignment. But this is where, and it's no surprise here, there was a surprise. But here is what this case was about. And it had to do with the law that when the EPA, in certain circumstances, is looking at changes, in this case, it was a change as to the power plants, by law, it has to send its information to a couple of agencies. The National Marine Service agencies, because this has to do with water going into the ocean, and Fish and Wildlife Service, and the Sierra Club sued and said, we need that information too. And once it's made public, there's no issue. The Sierra Club gets it. And they said, you have to give it to us before the final decision is issued. Because what this was a draft decision or a draft copy that was given to Fish and Game, Fish and Wildlife Services, as well as to National Marine Fisheries Service. That's the law. And the Sierra Club sued, saying we need the drafts. And the appellate court agreed with the Sierra Club. Well, that just turned around. 7-2, the court turned around. It was all the conservatives and Elena Kagan joined the conservatives saying, no, you get a final draft, but you don't get preliminary drafts. So that's a win for the government because the Sierra Club is saying, you know, we're entitled to. No, you're not the same as governmental agencies, what the Supreme Court said. Another case that was just decided. Now, this one she didn't rule on, and it was a deportation case. There was some kind of a conflict. And it was a 5-3 ruling in a deportation case. It was a case argued in October before she joined the court. So she's out of it. So there's only eight members of the court who heard that. And it has to do against Clemente Avelino Pareda, who entered the U.S. from Mexico 25 years ago illegally. He and his wife have three kids, one of them a U.S. citizen. And what he did, he has been arrested and charged in Nebraska. It's Nebraska law with using a fraudulent Social Security card to get a job. And his conviction was for criminal impersonation. And here was the issue on this one. He is arguing that he did not commit a crime of moral turpitude and therefore should not be tossed under the law because he wasn't stealing. Well, it was criminal prosecution, but it wasn't any crime of violence. It was not a crime of burglary. It was not any crime other than getting a fake green card, applying for a job under a fake Social Security card, and applying for a job and getting it. And Nebraska says that may be moral turpitude. And the court said that he has to prove to the state of Nebraska that it wasn't moral turpitude. The presumption goes the other way. Now, if Nebraska had specific laws that listed the cases of moral turpitude, then it becomes easier. Except there's a law or there's a policy in the U.S. courts and in the legislature that if you have a list of what you could or could not do and there is an exception, you don't add to the list, then the assumption is that the legislature intended not to add to the list. So this, it becomes a little bit vague. And when Nebraska is saying, okay, you have to prove to us that this was not a crime of moral turpitude. And I tell you, it gets really tricky on this one, where the court is... It's definitely going to conservative, and we're seeing conservative, and not just conservative on broad strokes either. That we think of Roe v. Wade, we think of Citizens United, we think of these major, massive cases, gun control cases. But even when you're dealing with minutiae, small interpretations of state law, which the courts do look at, because it's a constitutional issue, and if you are arguing denial of civil rights, you can go up to the Supreme Court, and that's exactly what happened in this case. This is a guy who has three kids, one of which is a U.S. citizen. The other ones are not. He's been here for 25 years. And the argument is, come on, at some point, really? And then look at his crime, right? Yeah, he committed a crime. And that is, he used a fake Social Security card because he wanted to feed his family. Now, is that moral turpitude? Is that enough to get him deported? Incidentally, he's not being deported. He is, there's a case coming up. He's been given a court date, et cetera, and they're letting him, you know, still run around. I don't think he's able to work or not anymore. So this is where the courts are going to go. A union at Amazon that could change Amazon and other big internet retailers forever. And that's coming up. KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.